Chapter 25, Location, the Richard Hansen Bank and Trust. Nimbus hovered above the black limousine parked outside the mansion, watching Ricky step inside. He had his annual board meeting on his mind and didn't notice the dark cloud hanging over his head. Ricky seemed extra tall and lanky that day. His thin lips, pointed nose, and narrow, squinting blue eyes almost made Nimbus feel queasy. As soon as they arrived at the bank, Ricky exited the limo and entered the building. He walked fast and talked fast, firing orders all the way to his oversized metal office. Everything was chrome and glass. Even the carpet was in the shades of silver. Nimbus floated in undetected, watching Ricky being Ricky, rude, demanding, and yelling. He humiliated his secretary, throwing a full cup of coffee on the carpet, declaring it was too weak. He shouted on the phone about costly mistakes and then told his ex-wife that he couldn't go to his son's soccer game. But the action that made Nimbus start to build was with old Dexter, the maintenance man, who came in to clean up the coffee off the carpet. Ricky, seeing him down on one knee, pushed him over with his foot, then laughed as Dexter toppled to the floor.
"Couldn't resist," Ricky said, snorting. "It was seeing that butt crack that made me do it, old man."
Dexter pulled himself up using the desk for support, then pulled up his pants.
"Sorry, sir,"
he said, and then left quickly. Nimbus was getting dark and knew there was no escape as they were on the 10th floor and the walls were a glass cage. But he had to control himself or he would be doing some major damage. As Ricky rustled through some papers that he had snatched earlier from Mrs. Leggett's hands, he answered more telephone calls, swearing and demanding. He stood like a dictator until Nimbus sent some warning droplets onto his desk and head. Ricky screamed and tried to cover the important papers before scooping them off onto the floor. "Mrs. Leggett," he shouted, "a sprinkler head is leaking. Get maintenance back." Dexter had been standing outside the door with his ladder doing another errand.
"Where have you been? Can't you see we have a disaster pending?"
Ricky pointed to the ceiling and Dexter looked up.
"What happened?"
Dexter asked, his forehead wrinkled.
"How should I know? A sprinkler is leaking."
Dexter unfolded his ladder and climbed up to look at the sprinkler head.
"It's high heat that usually sets them off, but it appears to be all okay up here."
He climbed down and folded the ladder.
"Water doesn't just fall out of the ceiling on its own."
Then Ricky stopped short and looked up. He was looking for a cloud.
"It's that cloud," Ricky shouted.
"Excuse me?"
Dexter looked at Mrs. Leggett, and they both looked up.
"The cloud! There has been a dark cloud following me since yesterday and keeps causing all this trouble."
"Yes, sir," Dexter said.
"Never mind, get out."
He scooped up the papers off the floor.
"Yes, sir,"
Dexter said smugly and picked up his ladder and left. Ricky slapped the soggy papers into Mrs. Leggett's arms.
"Here, redo these and hurry up. The meeting is in 30 minutes.
He pulled out his handkerchief from his back pocket and wiped his face.
Yes, sir, and, Mr. Hansen? Mr. Brewster is here to see you."
"I don't have time."
Mr. Brewster stood at the door.
"I'll just take a minute of your time." "Well, that's all you get," Ricky said, looking at his chair before sitting. "So what do I owe this honor? Surely you're not here to discuss your loan."
"Well, sir, I don't understand why you called my loan."
He eased into the room.
"I have had my loan with you for years, and I was only late a few times. Why have you singled me out?"
"Oh, Frank, we haven't singled you out. You are just one of many. The bank is restructuring, and we no longer will be handling small loans."
"But I don't have $140,000. Can't you sell it to another lending company?"
"That's not how we do things here, Frank. You'll need to find your own financing."
"And what if I can't?"
"Then we own a trucking business," Ricky said matter-of-factly. Frank Brewster just stared at Ricky, unable to speak.
Oh, come on, Brewster. Don't give me that long face. Most of all of our customers have been able to secure their loans elsewhere. I'm sure you will, too.
Ricky stood up and helped him to the door.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to change and get to my meeting. Then I'm going to play golf.
But couldn't you just make an exception? Ricky closed the door, almost clipping Frank's opposing hand. Both glared at each other through the glass before Frank Brewster turned and walked away. Nimbus stayed dark all morning, observing Ricky's behavior at his meeting and at lunch. He was meaner than any cloud Nimbus had ever met, including Anvil. Floyd would have been horrified at the monster his son had become. Nimbus was glad that Floyd never saw him.
Maybe it isn't too late, Nimbus thought. Maybe I can help him see what a horrible person he is. Angels get to help humans see their shortcomings, don't they?
Nimbus followed him to the golf course.
I don't think Michael would have a problem with me helping Ricky. Everyone can always use another golf lesson.
Ricky was a temperamental golfer. His caddy always carried an extra set of golf clubs just in case Ricky flung a putter into the water hazard or wrapped his 7-iron around a tree. Once he beat the golf cart when he missed a shot, bending the head of his number 3 driver. Most observers watched with quiet shock and wide owl eyes at his performance, only to be pacified with a free meal and extra rounds of drinks. Nimbus was feeling especially ornery, and his storm building was quick. He let the foursome get their first shots off before he started his menacing. He noticed he was the only cloud in the sky. Good, he thought. Maybe Ricky will pay attention to me now. Ricky was the last to tee off, but his ball landed in the sand bunker. He cursed his caddy and drove wildly to the hazard, leaving him behind. After jerking to a stop, he jumped out of the cart, yanked the wedge iron from his bag, and positioned himself in the bunker. His caddy with brown baggy pants was still running to catch up. Nimbus looked to see that the other golfers were well over the hill before carefully taking aim. He fired his first lightning bolt, striking Ricky in the hands. Ricky screamed as he let go of the club, flinging it at his approaching caddy, who ducked just in time. Nimbus was relieved.
"What did you do that for, Mr. Hansen?"
Trying to pick up the club, but dropped it quickly because it was red hot.
"Did you see what just happened?"
Ricky said, squealing like a pig and shaking his hands.
"I just got struck by lightning!"
They both looked up at the sky and then at each other. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Nimbus had moved over to the trees to hover and watch.
"Never mind, give me another club," Ricky yelled, shaking his hands. "I'll just take a drop here."
He rubbed his hands together briskly, then took the club and a spare ball from his caddy.
"Walk up the ridge and give me a distance to the green," Ricky demanded.
Nimbus drifted over and started to build pressure quickly as he remembered Mr. Brewster's sad face. He focused and aimed, shooting a little zinger at Ricky's belt buckle. Ricky yelped like a dog and started running up the hill, holding his pants up.
"Get the cart and hurry!" Ricky screamed.
The caddy ran down the hill to retrieve the cart just as Nimbus fired again. He was aiming for Ricky's gold necklace.
"Bullseye!" Nimbus shouted.
Ricky grabbed at his throat and ripped off his necklace as smoke rose from his V-neck golf shirt. He ran past the other 3 golfers heading for the clubhouse, whirling his arms around like a windmill and slapping at his chest. Nimbus couldn't help but smile, seeing Ricky darting in all directions on the fairway. It was a sight to behold as far as Nimbus was concerned, remembering the hitchhiker Jerry. Justice! I was only giving them what they deserved.